Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I doubted that I was going to be able to put together a YouTube this week with having to take some time off for all of the Thanksgiving festivities. But I got up early this morning since everyone was doing their own thing. Thought I'd slip down here and squeeze in a YouTube before I have to go over to my son's home for some turkey this morning. In considering Thanksgiving, I want to continue what I was addressing last week in regard to gratitude and political systems. To begin with, consider Adam and Eve living in paradise. They had all of their needs provided for. They lacked for nothing physically, emotionally, socially. How could Satan get them to sin? By making them ungrateful. By making them feel like victims. But how could he do this in paradise? Well, by getting them to focus on the one thing they couldn't have, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, by making that lack a sore point, by getting them to focus on what they didn't have rather than upon what they did have. America is the most prosperous country in the world, in the history of the world. If you live in America, you are part of the one percenters. That derogatory term that the left uses against the rich. But living in America in 2019, even if you live below the poverty level, you are living better than King Henry VIII. You have better food, you have more food, you have better health care, even if you're on Medicaid. You have better access to information and education, you have better transportation, better clothing, better baths, better everything. We live like kings. Even in times of recession, we live like kings. But right now, the American economy is booming. And yet, how can it be possible that a whole political party is successfully selling socialism and communism, claiming that we need to change America's economic system because our lives are so terrible? Because as they claim, capitalism and the wealth of other people is unfair and it's keeping us poor. That's a hard sell. It's really absurd if you think about it for a moment. But Elizabeth Warren stands up at a rally and says, "You've got things that are broken in your life. I'll tell you exactly why. It's the giant corporations. Billionaires have seized our government." And Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says capitalism is irredeemable and a system that allows billionaires to exist is immoral. Senator Bernie Sanders said that he doesn't think billionaires should exist. It's absurd, but remember Genesis. Satan was able to make Adam and Eve ungrateful even in paradise by telling a lie and telling it quite convincingly, by leaving off the true assessment of things, by making the first couple feel like victims of the system. So please realize that what we are seeing in this political resurgence of socialism is the political expression of envy, resentment, greed. In the words of Winston Churchill, socialism is the philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. And as the Apostle Paul commands Christians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, greed must not be once named among you as is proper among saints. We must not only reject greed, we must repudiate all of its forms, whether that be personal greed or political greed, or greed that is dressed up as some political economic theory. And let's not be naive. Satan will use false teachers, false shepherds, to tempt us to be envious, greedy, jealous. These are the activists, the politicians, who want us to believe that we're being cheated because we have to work by the sweat of our brow, because we have to scrimp and save to better ourselves, to make a living. And that what we have is not enough as long as someone else has more. I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. early in my ministry, I was doing children after school Bible clubs. And I did a lollipop scavenger hunt. Not those cheap lollipops you get at the bank. I'm talking the good ones. The Tootsie Roll lollipops. The blow pops. And I'll never forget, one little girl ran up to me, wanted to show me that she had found three lollipops. And she was smiling from ear to ear. But then a little boy ran up beside her and showed me that he had found five lollipops. And she looked at those five lollipops, and her face went from joy to rage. And she stomped off in a huff. Here's some news. Last week, the Iranians were protesting and burning down gas stations because the Iranian government raised prices on gas. Now, first you might think it's that evil Iranian government overtaxing the people. But no, it was because the gas went from 34 cents a gallon to 50 cents a gallon. The government of Iran subsidizes gasoline for the people. The government sells it under cost as a form of government welfare. So now that the people have to actually pick up the cost of what it costs to produce gasoline, they riot. The greed of most people is not what they do not have, but what they do not have relative to other people, or what they do not have in respect to what they had in the past. You know, in a hypothetical world, where everyone, almost everyone, owned a mansion, there would still be people complaining that they only have a 6-bedroom, 3-bath colonial. And in a world where almost everyone eats filet mignon, there would still be people complaining that they had to eat strip steak. And that's what's happening in America among the spoiled, the greedy, the ungodly. They have become ungrateful for their blessings. And they want more and more, and they're never satisfied. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15, the leech has two daughters. Give, give. There are three things that will not be satisfied, four that will not say enough. And that's the greed of socialism. Never satisfied. There is no limiting principle. Isaiah 56, 11, and the dogs are greedy. They're not satisfied. And they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. And also, 2 Peter 2:3, and they, the false prophets, in their greed, will exploit you with false words, lies. And these false prophets include politicians, social activists, communist Marxist Bolsheviks, and they exploit the public with lies, and the Christian community needs to call them out. Following the example of Genesis chapter 3, when Satan says, what a miserable, unfair life you have, like he did to Adam and Eve, Christians need to show up and cry foul play. We need to expose Satan's smooth-sounding rhetoric for what it is, lies. And these false teachers, this socialist movement, is claiming that it's all about charity. But the movement is not motivated by charity for the poor. Otherwise, they'd be strictly speaking about charity programs. It's motivated by envy. It's motivated by a desire for big brother government. Thomas Jefferson wrote, I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. Now, how could Thomas Jefferson, back in 1790, make a statement that sounds like it is coming from a conservative in the 21st century? Well, because people haven't changed. Old Europe, with its feudalism and aristocracy, played the same game that socialists are playing today, where the bureaucrats get power and money from the people by promising social programs and by appealing to class envy. It is not about bringing up the poor as much as it is about bringing down the successful working class. Here's an article from The Federalist. Top motivation for hating capitalism isn't compassion. It is resentment This comes from a study by the Cato Institute from their 2019 survey on what Americans think about poverty, wealth, and work. But we don't need that study to tell us that the motivation behind communism is not compassion for the poor. The Word of God explains what's going on here. Communism is the hatred of the success of others, that it's not right for one person to be rewarded more than me, that it's not right for someone to be smarter, stronger, or more successful than me. It's the hatred of work. It's the hatred of accountability. It's the hatred of God's calling and blessing on other people. It is, I want a world where there are no property rights, where there are no rich people above me, where there are no Jobs, who was the richest man in the Middle East, according to Job chapter 1, verse 3, where there are no Abrahams, Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. Now, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And remember also, Abraham's servant said to Rebekah, Genesis 24, 34, so he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, so that he has become rich, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. There is no sin in wealth, even in great wealth, and it can be earned legitimately. Also Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow rich until he became very wealthy. But notice the next verse. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so the Philistines envied him. Who resented the rich? Who thinks the success of others is unfair and undeserved? Not God's people, but the ungodly. They are characterized by economic envy and resentment. My son pointed out to me the other day that the Philistines envied Isaac all the more because Isaac lived in their land. And he was more successful than the Philistines, given the same opportunities and resources. And this is where we see one culture, out of greed and envy, hating another culture or family group that succeeds more than they. And the envy of socialism is seen in the attitude of Joseph's ungodly brothers. Joseph received a special coat of many colors because he was righteous, and his brothers were a bunch of ungodly rogues who grieved the father. Genesis 37:4, his brothers saw that their father had loved him, Joseph, more than all of his brothers. So they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Well, rather than resent your brothers, how about living righteously so you get a special coat? But then Genesis 37:8, then his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So here we see that resentment comes out of the ungodly when God gives someone greater authority, greater blessing. And Joseph is a type of Christ. Remember in Matthew 27, the Pharisees put Jesus on the cross out of envy. So people in their greed and their bitterness resent anyone who is blessed of God more than they. A number of years ago, I was attending an American history lecture, and a woman, seeing that I was a pastor, kept questioning me about the story of Joseph, trying to get me to say that it was so unfair of Jacob to give Joseph a special coat. Now, it didn't occur to me at the time what this woman was after. But later I realized that the story of Joseph really bothered her because she was a resentful social justice warrior who had been drinking the socialism Kool-Aid. The story of Joseph irked her because it thwarted her view of justice. She was sure that her view of economic justice was superior to the biblical worldview of accountability, of blessing, of property rights, of individual responsibility. So, AOC, Congresswoman Cortez, gets up at a Bernie Sanders rally and says the following. which epitomizes the lying, smooth-sounding envy of socialism. Quote, she says, the future of America is in public systems and publicly owned systems. That's communism, by the way. Because we need to take power over our own lives again. I don't know about you, but I don't want Mark Zuckerberg making decisions over my life. I don't know about you, but the Waltons, Walmart, have already been making decisions over our lives, and what we get was nothing. We need a United States that is really, truly, authentically operated, owned, and decided by working and all people in the United States. And her audience breaks out in cheers and applauds like sheep led to the slaughter. Do you hear what she's saying? She is the Philistine who says, I don't want this rich guy Isaac having any influence in society, making any economic decisions, having power over jobs. I don't want this guy Job to be the richest man in the East. And so what does Satan inspire the Chaldeans to do? To steal Job's livestock and to slay his servants. Congresswoman Cortez believes and promotes a lie that if the government owns everything, then everyone owns everything. As if God wants everyone to own everything, which is an unproven assumption. But at the very least, she's pretty naive to believe that if the government owns everything, you're going to be free. That being free of private ownership will solve all your problems. Well, that's 1984 Orwellian Big Brother talk. You see, the core error here in AOC, Bernie Sanders, Warren, is a rejection of God-given property rights, as we see in the Law of God, which is one of the founding principles of America, the right to life, liberty, and property. Now, in the Declaration of Independence, in the drafting of it, Jefferson actually crossed out property and put in pursuit of happiness because he didn't want it all to be about materialism. But God-given property rights was part of America's founding principles because it's in the Word of God. We own the labor of our hands. As opposed to the old feudal system in Europe where the king owns everything. Remember King Ahab? He was condemned by the prophet of God for taking Naboth's vineyard. 1 Kings 21. Not even the king had the right to take the property allotted to the individual Jewish family. So this is God's word on this issue. That the future of America is not in public systems and publicly owned systems. If we're to be blessed by God according to his will, God's plan is for property rights and even for material inequalities. We're to accept what we have from the hand of God and simply work to be good stewards of what we've been given and to grow what we've been given. And the fact that some people have a bigger piece of the pie doesn't keep us from growing our piece of the pie. Because by our work and by our labors, we can increase the overall wealth in America. Remember, AOC said that we have gotten nothing from Walmart. That is such a lie. Walmart has created all sorts of market efficiencies that have made us wealthy. Walmart is the largest employer in the world and employs 2.2 million people. And Amazon has also created great market efficiencies. It employs 650,000 people. There are just so many people who would not work unless someone sets up the work for them. Anyway, it's just amazing how ungrateful and ignorant these socialist, communist ideologues are. How resentful they are of the very people that make their lives better. They tell us how evil these billionaires are. Yeah, look at all those countries that have no billionaires. Nigeria, Ethiopia, the Sudan. Look at how wealthy those people are because they have no rich people and no rich corporations to take their piece of the pie. Oh, wait a minute. Those countries are in abject poverty because billionaires are necessary for a thriving economy. It takes billionaires to have millionaires, and it takes millionaires to have people earning six figures. And it takes people earning six figures to have people making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. You never get a job from a poor person. So thank God for rich people who can invest and utilize other people's labors. Cuba, Venezuela, Russia, where the governments own the system of production, are impoverished. Now, again, most people reject socialism based upon its practical failures. But let's remember that primarily the problem is the ethical failure, a rejection of God-given property rights. And people like Sanders and AOC really don't believe it's right for people to own and grow their own property. Last month, I bought a new TV, a 50-inch 4K smart TV for just a little over $300. In today's dollars, that was one-fourth of what I paid for a 25-inch cathode ray dumb television set back in 1985. It would take me a lifetime to design, build, manufacture a 4K smart television set, but I can buy it for just a few hours of work. So I'm not resentful of Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg or Sam Walton or any other corporate billionaire. Their wealth increases my wealth. And I'm thankful for Bill Gates developing an operating system and organizing people to help him develop an operating system, because he didn't take wealth away from anyone. He made us all wealthy. And I wish there were a million more people like Bill Gates, as wealthy as Bill Gates, because then we would all be wealthier and our lives would all be better. But Bernie Sanders, he tweeted out against Bill Gates. Say Bill Gates was actually taxed $100 billion. We could end homelessness and provide safe drinking water to everyone in this country. Oh, Bill would still be a multi-billionaire. Our message, the billionaire class cannot have it all when so many have so little. Well, there's so many errors in that tweet. There's just not enough time to address it. The fact is, Bill Gates employs 100,000 people. And Bill Gates doesn't actually see his $1 billion. It's just ownership on paper. His assets are actually in his company working for America. And when Bill Gates dies, the estate tax is going to take 40% of everything he owns anyway. And the top 10% income earners in America pay 70% of the income tax. So there's so many wrong perceptions, so many lies of the devil that need to be exposed. So here's a question. What's your mindset? Do you think biblically about the economy and property rights with Thanksgiving? Or have you been spoiled by the envy of greed, telling yourself that your greed is social justice? Remember, Jesus rebuked the man who thought he deserved half of everything his brother owned? Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter over you?" Then Jesus said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist in possessions." You see, this man was sure that out of some concept of economic justice, he deserved half of what his brother had. But Jesus called it for what it truly was: greed cloaked in the garment of alleged fairness. There was a sci-fi movie that came out in 2016 called The Passengers, with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. Not that I'm promoting this movie, but the dialogue really illustrates how people view the economic world differently based on their values and their beliefs. Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence are space travelers on a ship built by a huge, wealthy, multinational corporation called the Homestead Company. Jennifer Lawrence's response shows that she is that left-wing socialist. Chris Pratt's response shows that he is that conservative capitalist. Lawrence asks Pratt, "Why did you sign up for the trip?" Pratt says, "Well, I guess I wanted a new world. I don't know, a fresh start." Jennifer Lawrence says, well, that's Homestead Company's advertising, isn't it, Jim? Pratt responds, I know, I guess, you're right. Back on Earth, when something breaks, you don't fix it, you replace it. The colonies, they have problems to solve. They're my kind of problems. And a mechanic is somebody. This is a new world, still being built. I could build a house and live in it, open country, room to grow. Jennifer Lawrence sneers. Now you're back to slogans. Pratt says, well, can't slogans be true? Lawrence says, do you know how much the Homestead Company made off of its first planet? $8 quadrillion. That's 8 million billion. Colony planets are the biggest business going. Did you pay full price for your ticket? Pratt said, no, I'm a desirable trade. Lawrence says, so they fill your head with dreams, discount your ticket, and fly you off to populate their planet, and you give Homestead 20% of everything you make for the rest of your life, not to mention the debt you run up on this fancy starship. So Pratt says to Lawrence, so all you see here is 5,000 suckers. No, said Lawrence, I see zeros on the Homestead Company's bottom line. Pratt says, I see 5,000 men and women changing their lives for 5,000 different reasons. Lawrence says, you don't know these people. I'm a journalist. I know people, really. So who's right? Is the Homestead Company cheating people or laboring for profit in a just and God-ordained way, which results in good for everyone? Are these 5,000 suckers or are these 5,000 people being blessed by those who create products and services to help people? Well, the answer to that question is not found in our opinions, but in the Word of God. And the Bible is not silent about the social economic envy currently taking over our country and the damage that it does. Again, the best quote I heard last month came from Andrew Clavin. If you don't have God in your life, you'll start to believe a lot of crap. Sometimes you have to speak graphically like the Old Testament prophets. Well, based on Romans chapter 1, verse 21, if you're ungrateful, you will see the world through the eyes of envy. You will become futile in your speculations, and your foolish heart will be darkened. So if you're ungrateful, you'll begin to believe a lot of crap. Don't fall for Satan's lies of envy and resentment and ungratefulness. It will ruin your life. It will ruin your family. It will ruin your business. It will ruin your country, and it might even damn your soul. And with that understanding of gratitude versus envy, I hope you enjoy Thanksgiving all the more because you have a heart filled with truth and filled with gratitude. May God bless.